And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's an honor. Today is Thursday, April the 11th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. On April 11th, 1945, during World War II, American soldiers liberated the Nazi concentration camp Buchenwald in Germany. Today in 1865, President Abraham Lincoln spoke to a crowd outside the White House. He said, "We meet this evening not in sorrow, but in gladness of heart." That would be the last public address that Lincoln would ever give. Today in 1921, Iowa became the first state to impose a cigarette tax at 2 cents a package. Today in 1947, Jackie Robinson of the Brooklyn Dodgers played in an exhibition against the New York Yankees at Ebbets Field, 4 days before his regular season debut that broke baseball's color line. The Dodgers won 14-6. Today in 1951, President Harry S. Truman relieved General Douglas MacArthur of his commands in the Far East. Truman didn't like MacArthur much, and I think it was mutual. Today in 1961, former SS officer Adolf Eichmann, he went on trial in Israel, charged with crimes against humanity for his role in the Nazi Holocaust. Eichmann was convicted and executed. Today in 1968, President Lyndon B. Johnson signed into law the Civil Rights Act of 1968, which included the Fair Housing Act. He signed that a week after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. And today in 1981, President Ronald Reagan returned to the White House from the hospital 12 days after he was wounded in an assassination attempt. I remember when they were rolling him into the hospital for surgery, he said that there was a TV camera there and somebody was following him, and they said, "How are you feeling?" And he said, "I hope the doctors are all Republicans," and everybody laughed. Those were better days, weren't they? Today, could you even say something like that? Maybe Ronald Reagan could, but perhaps no one else could. It's so coarse and so angry and so attacking today on every front. But Ronald Reagan always had an interesting point of view and a little humor to go along with it. O.J. Simpson has passed away. He died this morning from prostate cancer. His family wrote on Twitter, the Twitter account this morning. He was 76 years old. They said on April 10th, or last night I guess he died, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, O.J. Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During the time of transition, his family asked that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace. The Simpson family. O.J. had quite a storied life, to say the least. We live in dangerous times. That's the message. That's the message that FBI Director Christopher Wray has been saying to the news media. And now he's delivering a speech this morning, as we speak, to Congress. And he is telling them that there is an elevated threat to the United States public safety and national security. Now, he is asking for more money. They always, you know, create a problem just before they ask for money to solve the problem. I understand that. But I think given what we know about our times, they're could be some truth in this, interestingly enough. Wray is set to tell the House of Representatives panel, he's telling them as we speak, just how America can be threatened through the execution and organized terrorist attack similar to the one that killed scores of people at a Russian concert hall last month. Fox News is reporting this. Others are starting to report it now, just as I came on the air, that he is making the case there. He is asking for more money to respond to this, but he is making the case pretty strongly that there is a heightened threat in the United States of some kind of terrorist act. Well, Psalm 146 begins with this: Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It continues, the psalmist continues in verse 2, While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. While I live, I will praise the Lord. And verse 3 says, Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, mankind, in whom there is no help. Praise the Lord. I think that truth is perhaps more important to us today than ever before. It's always been important. It's inspired and infallible. It's the word of the Lord. But today there's a tendency to look to man, to look to government, to look to agencies, to look to all these kinds of different places for help. And there's a place for all of that in a developed culture like ours. But boy, this is a time when we need to lean heavily on the Lord. We need to stand firm on the rock and not be blown around on the sand, because the winds are blowing, the storm is raging, and things are pretty much out of control today as far as I can see, politically and otherwise. And now Christopher Wray is telling the nation that there's a heightened alert because they're expecting some kind of a terrorist attack, like the recent attack in Russia that killed a bunch of people. I can't remember how many now, but a large number of people at this concert, music concert. We need to be not fearful. We need to be informed. We need to be vigilant, because we're living in a world that is upside down in many respects. And it is so because of the beliefs of leadership in our country today. Once it was generally recognized that biblical principles were the guiding light of America, even men in office who did not profess a strong testimony of Christianity, they accepted the fact that it was upon biblical principles that our nation was founded and prospered and flourished as we have. Now things have changed, and there is a great division in the country, and it's over ideology. The Democrats and the Republicans are further apart than they've ever been since the time of Abraham Lincoln. I want to talk to you a little bit about Arizona and abortion and Joe Biden and Donald Trump today. Our office got a letter yesterday. No, we don't financially support them, but we get on lists because we want to know what they're talking about. It's from it's from Joe Biden, but it's from the Democrat Party. And it starts with your first name. I'll use my name on this letter. It wasn't to me, but it came to our office, to someone else in our office. Now let's use my name. Gary, by now you've probably seen that millions of Arizonans will soon live under an even more extreme and dangerous abortion ban, which fails to protect women even when their health is at risk or in tragic cases of rape and incest. This decision was only made possible because Donald Trump overturned Roe v. Wade and unleashed this chaos and cruelty across the country, a fact that he proudly brags about. We are starting to see the impacts of this cruelty show itself in our daily lives. In fact, my campaign just released a video sharing Josh, Amanda, and their baby Willow's story. At 18 weeks, Amanda's water broke and she had a miscarriage. And because the justices that Trump appointed to the Supreme Court had ended Roe v. Wade, she was denied the critical medical care she needed. Doctors were forced to send Amanda home, where she developed sepsis. She almost died twice in ICU. This is horrifying, Gary, and it's just one family's story. It's interesting in their letter. I mean, the president of the United States. In just one family, they spelled it Familes instead of Families, apostrophe S. Anyway, we make mistakes on our publication too, but I mean, we don't have 1,000 people with $1 billion every month, you know, as staff either. But anyway, it's just one family story. Sadly, there are millions of stories like Josh and Amanda's nationwide. Donald Trump and his MAGA Republicans are enacting dangerous policies nationwide, and they're having a real and tragic impact on the lives of millions of Americans. I have said this before, and I will say it again today. Vice President Harris and I stand with Americans like Amanda and Josh and will fight every day to reinstate the protections of Roe v. Wade. We will continue to call on Congress to pass a law restoring the protections of Roe v. Wade for women in every state. Thanks for standing with us, Joe. And then it's beneath that is Joe Biden, and then beneath that is President of the United States. I share this letter with you not to encourage you to support the Democratic Party, obviously, or the president in that respect, but that's kind of the way it's being framed now. That's going to be the Democratic message from now until November, the election. And the thing that is concerning me a little bit is the fact that, more than a little bit, the fact is that some Republicans are starting to react to that, and we've been told that this is a winning or losing issue, depending on which side of it you're on, but that America is pro-abortion by the various surveys that have been taken. That isn't necessarily true, because there are a lot of surveys that they don't count that show that people are more pro-life than they will tell the public. And they're going to be telling the public this. Now, to say that America is strongly pro-life, it would not be true. But there are more pro-life people than there are, I think, that are reflected in the surveys that they choose to use in advancing this idea that America is a pro-abortion nation. So with that backdrop, we look at what Biden is saying and we look at what Trump is saying. And unless some catastrophic event happens, they'll be the two people. I mean, it could change, but they'll be the two people on the ballot come November in the presidential election. So they're both trying to position themselves in what they think is good with the American public on this issue. It concerns me a little bit. I think you know, if you listen to this program, I would never vote for Joe Biden. I mean, that's a non-starter. But I think you know that I support Trump because he has supported us. There are many flaws in all of us, and certainly Donald Trump is not without his flaws. But I have supported him, and I do personally, and I'm speaking personally. I do personally for all the reasons that many of you do as well. In spite of some of the things he says and does, he comes down on the things that are most important to me in the right way. He has been a strong advocate for Christian values. He's been a strong supporter of Israel. He's been a strong supporter of life, and so on. This is shaping up to be very nuanced over the next number of months, and we just need to be very, very clear in our thinking. And the only way we can be where we need to be as believers is to stay focused, not on the sons of man, not on people, but on God. And God will guide us through this matter in America. But I believe America hangs in the balance. I believe this will be the most important election in November. And I know people say that on every election. I understand that. And they are all important. But this will be the most important, in my view, most important election since Abraham Lincoln. I perhaps in the history of our nation, but certainly since Abraham Lincoln. So it's very important that we prayerfully listen and act as God leads us. The Supreme Court ruled on Tuesday of this week that a 160-year-old near total abortion ban is still on the books in Arizona. In a state that is enforceable, it's a bombshell decision, as they say, that adds the state to the growing list of places where abortion care is effectively banned. There's a number of them now. It's a result of Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade being overturned is a result of President Trump keeping his promise to us pro-life Christians. I mean, that's the way it is. But NBC News has jumped into the fray now, and they're trying to save women's health care, also known as abortion, using their code words and the whole deal. NBC News says the ruling allows an 1864 law in Arizona to stand that made abortion a felony, punishable by 2 to 5 years in prison for anyone who performs one or helps a woman obtain one. Well, that's inflammatory on the face of it. So they put that out there first to get your attention and say, well, that's not right. Somebody that does an abortion, maybe they are not supposed to do an abortion, but they shouldn't get 2 to 5 years in prison. That's the way the press rolls these days. They're not trying to inform you. They're trying to influence you and mislead you often in regards to biblical values and so on. The law, which was codified in 1901 and again in 1913, outlaws abortion from the moment of conception, but includes an exception to save the woman's life. NBC begins with this. Yesterday, they're reporting with an attack on the law itself, which is understandable. That's what they do. NBC begins their reporting with this. That Civil War era law, enacted a half century before Arizona even gained statehood, was never repealed, and an appellate court ruled last year that it could remain on the books as long as it was harmonized with a 2022 law, leading to substantial confusion in Arizona regarding exactly when during a pregnancy abortion was outlawed. So what they're doing now is they're whipping up confusion, and they're asking questions that really have no answer. It's whatever somebody says it is. The true answer is biblical. Is when, at what point in pregnancy is abortion outlawed? Well, it's what, at what point in pregnancy is there life? And life is at conception. Confusion is always a tool that the left uses to confuse the uninformed. If you're informed, you're not misled. But if you are not informed, they will mislead all of us, myself, you, all of us are easily misled if we're not informed. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that is so true in every generation. The decision, they say, the New York Times, or the NBC, which should shutter abortion clinics in the state, effectively undoes a lower court's ruling that stated that a more recent 15-week ban from March 2022 superseded the 1864 law. The Arizona Supreme Court said it would put its decision on hold for 14 days, and we're in that 14-day period right now. Writing that, the Supreme Court wrote that it would send the case back to a lower court so that the court could consider additional constitutional challenges that haven't yet been cleared up. They were echoing Barack Obama and his so-called homosexual marriage. So Attorney General Chris Mays, is a Democrat in Arizona, said moments after the ruling that she will not enforce the law. Well, I don't think anybody expected people to go to prison for 5 years if they committed an abortion. Maybe they expected that, but they're making the case that it's all about, do you want to go to jail for 5 years? They always do that. They don't tell you the truth, and it's never balanced in the media, ever. She said, let me be completely clear. As long as I am Attorney General, no woman or doctor will be prosecuted under this draconian law in this state. She said it's unconscionable. It's an affront to freedom and so on. Is freedom defined, though, by women being able to legally kill unwanted, unborn babies? I mean, is that what freedom is? Freedom to kill someone you don't want in your life? NBC reminds its viewers, Democrats all the way to President Joe Biden also have blasted this ruling. Biden said in an official statement from the White House, he said millions of Arizonans will soon live under an even more extreme and dangerous abortion ban, which fails to protect women even when their health is at risk or in tragic cases of rape and incest. The cruel ban was first enacted in 1864, more than 150 years ago, before Arizona was even a state and well before women had secured the right to vote. This is a statement from the White House. This ruling is a result yesterday. This ruling is a result of the extreme agenda of Republican elected officials who are committed to ripping away women's freedom. And then the statement, there's a lot more, but then the statement said this. Vice President Harris and I stand with the vast majority of Americans who support a woman's right to choose. Now, that's an overstatement. A vast majority of Americans do not support. They show, because they pick and choose which surveys they're going to use, that there is a majority, but it's not a vast majority, except in surveys that have done and been funded by the left. Anyway. Responding to the questions from NBC's News about the Arizona ruling, a spokesman for Donald Trump's campaign referred only to the former president's comments on Monday that abortion restrictions should be left to the states. Now, let me reiterate, I support Trump personally. I have in the past, and I do now, and I intend to continue to. I mean, why would I not? If I believe what I believe. And I think a lot of people would identify with that. But his office said, his press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, she said President Trump could not have been more clear. These are decisions for people of each state to make. I believe in states' rights, and I think most of you do as well. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs called for the GOP-controlled legislature, which is currently in session in Arizona, to repeal the 1864 ban. However, there was no immediate indication that Republican lawmakers, and they're, I think they're in the majority in the legislature, in both parts of the legislature, but there was no indication that the Republican lawmakers in either chamber would take up such an effort. The upcoming November election features a tough battle in Arizona, the local press is saying, to fill the seat held by the retiring independent Senator Kyrsten Sinema. The election will most likely be between Democrat Ruben Gallego and Republican Kerry Lake. NBC then notes in their story, they say during her unsuccessful 2022 run for governor in Arizona, talking about Lake, Kerry Lake, Lake said she supported the 1864 law, calling it a great law that's already on the books. But Lake now says, NBC reports, but Lake now says she opposes the 1864 law as well as the federal abortion ban, which also acknowledging that her own views regarding state policy conflict with some voters' preferences. NBC continued. They said in a statement following the decision, Lake said she opposed the ruling, adding that it is abundantly clear that the pre-statehood law is out of step with Arizonans. She called on state lawmakers to come up with an immediate common sense solution that Arizonans can support. NBC concludes, the abortion landscape in Arizona has been uniquely confusing since Roe v. Wade was overturned. Now, there's two things there that are glaring. One is, well, first of all, they're making this the point of the election. And they're going to continue to do this. The media is in lockstep with Joe Biden and his administration. There is no question about that. I mean, it's not going to change ever with the current media that we have in America and the way we're configured right now. So we just need to know that's going to happen. But the fact that prominent Republicans are hedging a little bit on the pro-life stance because they're convinced by staff or by whatever that there's this vast majority of people in America that are pro-abortion. Even if that were true, does the political advantage, does it outweigh standing for what is truth, ultimately at the bottom line? I mean, we need to ask ourselves. I'm not suggesting you dump a candidate, if Carrie Lake or whomever. I'm just saying we want to be very, very careful that the left doesn't mess with the news and write stories that are not exactly true and cause the right, the conservative right, the Republicans, to go down a path that really isn't the right path on issues like killing unwanted unborn babies and other issues, but particularly that one. We just want to be very, very careful. Psalm 20 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord, our God. I think we need to remind ourselves of that, and we need to be very careful. And this is a matter of prayer. Abortion is conceived in darkness and deception. It is demonic. I mean, all the way back in the Old Testament, there's records of abortion and sacrificing babies to false gods. And we're still doing that, in a sense. I think we need to be very, very careful as conservatives, as Republicans, or whatever our political affiliation is, about how we are misled on this issue. And again, please don't misunderstand, but the people we support need to hear very clearly from us that we are pro-life. And I think that should be the assignment for all of us over the next few months as we have opportunity. Thank you for being with me today, and thank you for your support. We need it. We'll see you right here tomorrow.